I want to read from Acts chapter 1, and it's quite a long reading, but I'm going to do it in chunks, as it were, in sections, because I want us really to grasp what really was happening on that day of Pentecost, and what led up to it, and the promise that Jesus made that the Holy Spirit would come. So Acts chapter 1, and in this chapter, of course, we see where Jesus ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. But this is Luke writing in Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And we're going to read down to verse 13. Acts 2, 1 to 13, yes. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that had separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs were there to hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" Can you imagine a meeting like that? From Acts chapter 2, and reading from verse 14. Now, this is amazing. This bit, if we haven't been amazed already, the rest is even more thrilling. And this is Peter now, standing at Pentecost. This is the same one that denied Jesus three times. The Bible says he went away and he wept. This is the same Peter now. He stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Amen to that. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Jesus, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, but said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. For those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000. Were added to their number. Well, let's have a look at this passage of scripture that we've read, or at least part of it we've read this morning. I just wonder how many of us speak in a different language other than English. Anyone have another language? French? Double Dutch? Chinese? Really, I'm surprised. Such learned folk, Chris and Anne. You know, such learned folk. There we go. teachers, eh? What about the forest lingo? Anybody have any forest? Can we have a forest over there? Sorry? I did a few months ago a funeral for a gentleman, and I had to quote some forest lingo, and here it is. Sheep. Sheep. You know what that is? Come on, you foresters, you know what I'm at. It's get out. Rabbits. Yeah. Aching vit and vittles. What's that? Aching vit and vittles. Feet. Aching feet. Oh, come on. Anyway, let's move on from this. Yeah. I'm not. I was born in Gloucester, but my grandparents lived in Yorkley, so I do have a link with the Forest of Dean way back. But, you know, you've been in those situations, not what I've tried to do now, but those situations where you say something to somebody and they come back with a response. They haven't heard what you've said at all. They've come back with a totally different response. Have you found that? You know, at home, I've got to be careful now because family are here and they always question me after or have a go at me after. But I think at times I have selective hearing, only hear what I want to hear. If Margaret's talking to me, I do listen. But whether I respond in a way that she expects, I don't know. We're living in a days of communication, and so there's now text, there's Instagram, there's tweets. There's a few other things, Abby, I suppose, now, isn't there? And how often people do things, particularly tweets, they put them out there and they get themselves in a load of trouble because their first intention was to communicate something, but it was received in a different way. I think Pentecost is very much like that. What was actually happening, what was being said, of course it is about language. It's about when the Holy Spirit came and there were different tongues. There was a different language. People started speaking in a language that was different. But yet each of them heard in their own language. It's amazing how language is so important, and language was very much part of what Pentecost was about. And as we've read already, Jesus had ascended. And the folk were gathered there together. There was an expectation of the Holy Spirit, of what it might mean, would come upon them. And of course, Peter preached and 3,000 were added. It was a wonderful day. It was a day of great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, we hear in different parts of the world the outpouring of the Spirit or the Spirit of revival comes on gatherings and on groups of people, and we pray that would happen to us because I think we should expect it to come and enable us to speak out in a language, a common language, the common language of the gospel. The event also marked the inception of the church, and Paul says the church constituted as a body by means of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came for the common good. The Spirit came to bring a sense of unity amongst those that were gathered. But so often, as I say, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there is a misunderstanding. And some would say, certainly in Baptist circles, that's for the Pentecostal church. We tend to ignore it. But I want to invite us to welcome the Holy Spirit today into our lives and into our time together. Jesus promised that when the Holy Spirit came, he would baptize, he would come and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit, with fire. They were tongues that there was sound like a blowing a violent wind, and the whole house was filled where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came upon them. You see, apart from giving the disciples the ability to speak boldly and confidently about the things of Jesus, the Spirit gave the hearers the ability to understand what was being said. It was a language they understood. And as I said, about 120 representatives from all over the known world then received the gospel in their own language. So Pentecost is about language, it's about speaking, it's about hearing, it's about understanding. And it's something else too, and this is what really fascinates me about the work of God, that God doesn't do something because it's just something he wants to do at a particular time. So often it's rooted in the Old Testament and what God is doing to restore something in the past that was happening in centuries before. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles there, it'd be good to find that. Genesis chapter 11. And it's a well-known passage of scripture because it refers to the Tower of Babel, or Babel, is where the word Babel comes from. Genesis chapter 11. And I'll show you how some of these things that we read in Scripture are being very prevalent with us in our world today. The Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a place in Shinar, Babylon, and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city, and that is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. I mean, this occasion was about 100 years after the flood. And we read in chapter 9 where God said to Noah and his sons to go forth and multiply. Their job was to go forth to multiply so that the nation, the people group, would grow. About 30,000 people had already gathered at this particular place. But of course they didn't. And they decided to settle down. They decided that now they've got this common language, there's nothing impossible for them to do. And so they started building a tower, a city that would be to the heavens. That this would be an example of man's achievement, to achieve something that had never been done before. Can you imagine, as brick was put on brick, they all spoke the same language, so it was very easy for them to do that together. Their communication was clear, it was obvious. But the one thing that comes through this is that they trusted in their own strength and they didn't need God. They trusted in their own ability and they were gods themselves. We won't do what God says, we'll do our own thing. And they started to settle down and build themselves a city. This building would be the rallying point for mankind. It would be a place that would say, this is what we have done, and this is what we can do. And God comes down, and he foils their language, and he confuses them, as we are confused today. If you go to France, Germany, or wherever, it's confusing because we're speaking in different languages. Pentecost is very much where God brings restoration of those languages. And God knew that if he hadn't come down and stopped them building, they would ruin themselves. Pride would have ruined their very existence. So Pentecost reverses the pride of man. And we see on the day of Pentecost the mercy of God coming again to speak by the Holy Spirit in languages that people could understand, so a common language of the gospel could go out throughout the world. Places like Iran, Iraq, Turkey, North Africa, Europe were all represented there at Pentecost, and they all heard the gospel. And as I say, the result of them going forth as witnesses of the gospel, we today exist as the church. And the ministry of the church has always been to be witnesses to others, to those around. And we do our utmost here in different ways and different forms to be witnesses to those around us, to those that are in our locality. So I just want us to think for a moment how we see the Tower of Babel, if you like, being rebuilt in our society today. It's true that people are attempting to build something that will make a name for themselves. You know, reputation is all important. We see how reputation takes a lifetime, but it can be lost in a moment. Certain public profile people just this week have found that to their loss. And although people in our world today are doing different things, there is a common language that's speaking today that says we can do this in our own strength. We don't need God in our lives. And it's easier now because of communication through the means that I've mentioned already. Means of communication is, and it, although people are doing different things, there is a common language say, we want to build what we want to build a rallying point that men and women can see what we've done in our lives without God. We live in a godless society. We are no longer a Christian nation. We no longer uphold the name of Jesus. The name of God is used verbatim in our society today. The name of Jesus is blasphemed today without any guilt, without any feeling. But God does not stop them building what they want to build. But one day he will. When Jesus comes again, he will renew all things. And that's why I believe it's absolutely right that we know God for ourselves, that we understand what God is doing. The language of God is clear to us, the gospel is clear, and we must uphold the name of Jesus. Because if we don't, who will? It's very interesting. The founders of the European Union used a picture of an unfinished painting of the Tower of Babel by the Renaissance painter Peter Bougel for the Parliament building in Strasbourg. You can go on, have a look at Google and have a look at that. And the wording is in French. It says, many tongues, one voice. It's interesting if we think about that, how they've taken that Bible story and that painting and built something in modern Europe today. We understand why they've done it, many tongues, one voice, to speak for the whole of the European Union, but it indicates again that we can do things without referring to God. The communication at Pentecost birthed the church through his grace and through his mercy, that we see where God reverses what man has done, and God continues to reverse what man does, and God speaks in a way that is in opposition to the voice of the world. That's why sometimes it's difficult to hear what God would be saying. But I believe the same Holy Spirit would speak to us today and speak to the church universal, to enable him to come and boldly enable us to be strong in him and in his mighty strength, to be able to speak with absolute confidence the mighty truths of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have a common language. We have a common language. It is the gospel, it is the truth, it is the truth that sets people free. And the amazing thing is that when we speak the gospel, even though people may not understand it, God by his Spirit gives them the ability to understand it and give meaning to their lives. And my prayer is that we here at Little Lidbrook, say Little Lidbrook, it should be Lower Lidbrook, not Little Lidbrook, but you know what I mean, that we recognise the power of the Spirit of God and we invite him to have his way in our midst. Let us pray together. Lord, we want to say forgive us for trying to live our lives in our own strength, saying we can't do this and we can't do that. We're almost like saying, well, I don't need you, Lord, to enable me. Forgive me for that. Forgive us, Lord. We thank you for the power of enablement your Holy Spirit comes to do, to give us strength for today and that bright hope for tomorrow, to keep in step with the Spirit and to know and love the fruit of the Spirit, which is primarily about love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering and so on, self-control. And may the fruit of the Spirit fill us, Lord, fill our lives afresh, do we pray. So have your way, Lord, with us as we continue in our prayer ministry for healing. And pray that your Holy Spirit would be very evident as we call upon him to touch the lives of those who need that touch today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's close with this hymn.